Render therefore to God the things that are God's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Pharisees say the truth. Our Lord is a teacher who says the truth. Today, the church has teachers in mind. We commemorate a Polish professor of long ago, of great sanctity, St. John Cancius. Souls were his concern, whether his students or his parishioners or the poor, and his own soul as well. On this Mission Sunday, the church needs you to be a teacher, concerned with souls. If you are ever going to get around to that part in the gospel about rendering to God what is God's. Never mind about Caesar. He has a way of getting his own and then some these days. But God and souls. We pray today for the propagation of the faith. O God, who desirest that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of thy truth, we beseech thee, send laborers into thy harvest and grant them grace to speak thy word with all truth, with all trust, that thy words may run and be glorified, and that all nations may know thee, the one true God, in him whom thou hast sent, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. That thy words may run and be glorified. Last weekend, I made a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, just north of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Father McKenna wanted to know if I would be visiting the other shrine in Green Bay. I feigned ignorance, but even I know about the Packers, as well I should, because isn't it a rule? Know your competition. Football has replaced baseball as the American pastime. It is now America's full time. More than an activity, it is almost a religion. And so much is rendered to it, not only each autumn, but all year long. But did you know how remarkable that Our Lady once touched down just north of Green Bay, long before the Cheeseheads were ever thought of? She landed briefly between a hemlock and a maple tree, and she sent out one scout to recruit. Why? So that God's word might run and be glorified. There are only two or three places where Our Lady has appeared in our land. And the story of Our Lady of Good Help is a quintessentially American tale about immigrants and about schools and about struggles, about the faith being lost or handed down and souls in the measure. And all of this by the simplest of means. The story starts back in the old country, the 19th century, the French-speaking Belgians who are called Walloons. A young lady, Adele Bryce, made her first communion at the local convent with the sisters, and she and a group of her little friends who were together all pledged that one day when they grew up, they would become missionary sisters. Well, the others did. They kept their promise, but not Adele. She had to accompany her parents to the New World, to Green Bay, Wisconsin, which before football was all forest. Now Adele is 28. She's unmarried. She helps her family with the farm. One October morning, she's carrying on her head a bag of grain on her way to the mill. And she sees of a sudden a beautiful young lady in sort of a cream white robe with a yellow cincture, her hair long and blonde, and at her head is a crown of 12 stars. Now that should have given it away for her, but she and her family who discussed it that day thought it was perhaps a soul from the old country, a poor soul asking for prayers, purgatory. Well, the following Sunday, she's on her way to Mass. From that settlement, only two women accompanied her. One was her younger sister, and then a married lady from the neighborhood. No one else went to Mass, but she had to walk, they did, 11 miles to get to Mass. I wonder if that's the reason why some people don't seem to make it every Sunday ever anymore, is it? The long walk, perhaps. Well, in any case, on her long walk, she sees the same lady again, and she says almost involuntarily, "Oh, no." She asked the priest about it, confession, after Mass. The priest says, "Well, come out of the confessional." And he talks to her, and he tells her exactly what she needs to say if the vision recurs a third time. Well, she does see Our Lady on the way home, but she falls on her knees with joy, and remembering what the priest told her, she repeats, "In God's name, who are you, and what do you want of me?" And Our Lady answers with a beautiful smile, "I am the Queen of Heaven, who prays for the conversion of sinners, and I want you to do the same." Then continuing in her soft and very sweet voice, "You went to communion this morning." "Yes, dear lady." "Well, you have done well, but I wish you to do more. Make a novena. Pray for 9 days, a general confession make as well, and then offer your communion for the conversion of sinners. If they do not convert themselves and do penance, my son will be obliged to punish them." In the meantime, the other two ladies who were there was wondering who or what Adele was seeing, and Adele made a gesture that they should kneel down, and she said, "It's the Queen of Heaven." And then they lamented and said, "Why can't we see her too?" And our Blessed Mother turned to them very kindly and said, "Blessed are they that believe and do not see." And then turning back towards Adele, "What are you doing here in idleness while your companions are working in the vineyard of my son?" Adele starts to cry. "What more could I do, dear lady?" "Teach the children," she answers. "How shall I teach them when I know so little myself?" "I do not mean the science of this world. Teach them their catechism, that they may know and love my son. Otherwise, the people here will lose their faith." "With God's grace and with the help of your intercession, I promise, dear lady, to be faithful to what you bid me. Go and fear nothing. I will help you." Our Lady's last words, the final glimpse of her, was that of blessing the three. There was a sort of a smoke as of incense that accompanied her, and she was gone. Well, she told the family, and pretty soon the word got out, and most people believed, there were some doubters, but most people believed it. And her father, who worked in lumber, who felled the trees and made them to wood for building, of his own wood, right away, instinctively, built a chapel there, 12 by 12. And then people started to come and pray, and miracles started to occur. There were no records that were kept. It was all very simple. And Adele, for her part, she left. She set out to obey Our Lady, to teach the catechism over the course of 7 years in a 50-mile radius from her home. But see how God works. She was a strange one to be chosen. God always chooses the little people. The Novus Ordo would say the marginalized, but that's essentially so. And he chooses the unlikely. There's Adele. She only has a third grade education. She only speaks French, no English. She only has one eye. The other was lost in an accident with lye, and her face left disfigured. But her smile was so sweet, her manner so gentle and genuine, that families trusted her. They invited her in. She stayed with them as long as she needed to, helping with the chores, but teaching catechism to all of the children. And when they were ready, if necessary, she would walk them all the way to the nearest priest, who would test them and give them their first Holy Communion. In the meantime, the chapel was too small. A second one was built. And one day, the priest at the nearby parish suggested to Adele that she would ruin her health by all that tramping out about the woods in all weather. And what she ought to do would be to open a school. But how, Father? I don't have the means. Well, ask for the money. Build a school, and then build a little convent too, because others will come to help you. And so she did. She went out now from house to house begging, as when she went teaching, and the children came to her. Eventually, the school had 100 students. She only asked, imagine, for $1 a month per child for room and board and tuition. It was all a very simple affair, but many people could not, or that's how it goes, did not pay what was asked, and sometimes they dropped off their children, parents did, and never came back for them. It became a kind of an orphanage as well. And there were many, many adventures at that shrine and school of Our Lady of Good Success. Controversies over the control of the property. The old Catholics showed up, as they will, with their denial of the papacy and their Protestant ways. And then there were some scandals, people taking advantage of commercial purposes, or sort of a carnival atmosphere at times on feast days, and then denunciations and controversies and false reports, and eventually the bishop threatened to, or actually did, excommunicate Adele at least once and command that she shut down her school. She was very respectful. She did. But when she handed the keys to the bishop, she said, "Monseigneur, know that now you bear the responsibility." Well, she was given the keys back, and she reopened her school. Thousands of people finally came for the feast days at the end of May, or for the Assumption, and they say it was quite the scene that there were 1,000 buggies, horse and buggies, parked along the road well before now the time of cars. And there were solemn masses, priests and bishops there. If something is of God, you know this is true, it will endure. If it is not, in a short time, it will go away. Well, the school eventually, after decades, did close down, but the shrine, with the tacit approval of the church, only grew. What's our interest in this other shrine at Green Bay? Well, I think that if Our Lady came to our land, not France or Portugal, but Wisconsin, she came to teach us something. And indeed, the theme of teaching is all there. You know, Our Lady went to Lourdes to underline the teaching, the infallible doctrine of her Immaculate Conception. And then a year later, she comes to Wisconsin to underscore the authentic magisterium of the Church's ordinary teaching authority. In this case, of the bishops. This is something which is generally denied by traditionalists today, and of course that would be a heresy. And it's very sad to think of so many children, because of ignorance, who are raised in heresy. But the Council of Baltimore prescribed that a catechism, you know the Baltimore Catechism, should be composed, and that it should be taught, that each parish should have its own school, and there should be as well Sunday schools. You know we have a fine school here, and you should be proud of it, how much good is done with so very little. And you should remember, too, our Sunday school, and how proud we are of the teachers at our school and at our Sunday school. And do your children attend the Sunday school? It's intended particularly for those who are not at the school during the week. The importance of catechism, it never stops. Before you know it, the children are growing up, and then turn around again, and there are grandchildren to take care of, or nephews and nieces, or neighborhood children. And what about your godchildren? Who's working with them? God bless the teachers year in and year out, for whom good enough is not. They not only prepare the little ones for that first test, but they prepare them all the way through their schooling, teaching them for the great test of life itself, lest they fail there. Like some children who never really learn their prayers, and it's a sad thing, they don't know the act of contrition because they don't say it every night. This is all a sure recipe for losing the faith. Teach the children their catechism, Our Lady says, that they may know and love my Son. Otherwise, the people will lose their faith. And that's what happens when there's any upset or upheaval in life, whether it be immigration or some form of a religious revolution. It's always the little ones who suffer. The teaching of this apparition, like all true apparitions, is very short, isn't it? It's intense, and it's very much to the point. There's a loving warning, too, from the Mother of God about punishment. And you know, 12 years to the day after this apparition, there was a terrible fire on the same day as the Great Chicago Fire. And that fire consumed thousands and thousands of acres in the Green Bay Peninsula, and over 1,000 people lost their lives, and it came right up to the fence around the shrine. They were processing, praying the rosary, as you did last Sunday night, and the fire stopped at the fence. It was a miracle. For us today, I think what is particularly of interest is the similarity in the sense of the simplicity of just doing what needs to be done without particularly asking anybody else. It's an ad hoc movement. That's how the faith is kept and passed on today in these times of very great need. Adele wore a habit and was called sister, but she was just a third order member. She never took vows, she and the others. They just went from house to start with, and then later on they had their own school, which was a very simple affair. And at the shrine, no one ever recorded the miracles. They just were doing what needed to be done. So that, as we pray today, the Word of God may run and be glorified and souls be won. Sunday, today, fine Sunday it is. Ah, the games. For some, instead of church today, there are games on schedule. Or for others, certainly after church, lots of games. How about scoring one for God today? Enough of play, of wasted time, of worldly ways, while souls are lost and the faith goes astray. There is an eternal fire which threatens. What are you waiting for? An apparition? I mean, to render to God what is God's. What are you waiting for so that God's word, not some overpaid linebacker, some poor chump who is all too willing to sacrifice life and limb for a lot of money and a little bit of glory, but that God's word may run and be glorified. Listen This is your apparition. You go and fear nothing. I will help you. Teach them their catechism. Otherwise, the people here will lose their faith. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.